Amen. We're turning together in the scriptures to the book of Nehemiah. We're in Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read a little section of the book together. Nehemiah 4, beginning at the verse 13. The fourth chapter of Nehemiah, the 13th verse. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word as well as the preaching of it tonight. Verse 13 says, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me." So we'll end there tonight, the end of the 18th verse. And we do pray the Lord will bless and write upon every heart the public reading of his word. We're going to look at part of verse 17 of this section of the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 4, verse 17. "They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." It's the latter part of the verse. I'll emphasize it to you. I'd encourage you to note it. Even mark it in your Bible. "Every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." The theme of the message tonight is the sword and the trial. Mr. Spurgeon, and I'd encourage you to read a little of his life. Mr. Spurgeon was not just a great preacher, he was also a great writer. Mr. Spurgeon published a magazine. He started the publishing of that magazine way back in 1865. The magazine is still published today. The current editor is Dr. Peter Masters, the minister of the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church in London. And Spurgeon took the title for that magazine from the book of Nehemiah. It's actually based upon this verse of Scripture, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. And he called that magazine "The Sword and the Trial." He said it was a record of combat with sin and labor for the Lord, two vital aspects of the Christian life and the ministry of the church. So the sword and the trial. Let me remind you, as you think of that, that we're in the Lord's work. Or let me stress that you ought to be in the Lord's work. And the Lord has given us the tools for the work that we have to do. He has provided the implements that are necessary to do the job that the Lord has given to the church. And those tools, those implements are the sword and the trowel. And the question, the challenging question for all of us is, are you using those tools? If you think of it like this, how much wear do they have? Does your sword, your trowel, still look like new? Do they still give the impression that they've seldom been in use? So the sword and the trowel. I want us to think or to consider a little of the significance of those in our Bible study tonight. To emphasize just the trowel, first of all, and that speaks of building. If you think of the words of the text, he says, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work. It's a significant picture that we have in the text. One hand is the trowel, and the other hand he has the weapon. So he's a man that's fully absorbed in the work that is at hand. So we're thinking of the trowel. The trowel speaks of the building. With one of his hands, he wrought. He's doing a building work. And let me remind you that the Bible teaches every Christian should be a builder. Paul, speaking of himself, when he was writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he described himself as a wise master builder. Every Christian should be a builder. Can I point out that in the Scriptures, many of God's servants were builders. Many of the most noted characters in the Bible, many of the most noted stories in the Scriptures have to do with building. Noah built the ark. Bezalel built the tabernacle in the wilderness. Solomon built the great temple in Jerusalem. Ezra built the second temple after the time of the Jewish captivity. And Nehemiah, the man before us in the chapter, built the walls of Jerusalem. So there's just a few examples. Many of God's servants, many of the great Bible characters were builders. So let us think for a moment just of the question, what have you built? What sort of building work have you been engaged in for the Master? Think of Moody, built the great Sunday school in Chicago. George Mueller built the great orphanages there in Bristol. Ernie Allen, the late Ernie Allen, built the great printing works, first in Belfast, now out at Kinallen. If you think of some of the missionaries, Paul Briggs, for example, from our Bethany Church, built those churches, built up those believers among the Laron tribe there on the west coast of Africa. So it's good for us to think as we consider those examples. It's good for us to consider what have we built in our lifetime? What have we built for the Lord? Remember, there are three types of workers in any job, and especially in the work of the church. There's those who can be described as constructionists. That's the people who are building something. Those are the ones that are about a building work, and I have already given you several examples of such. There's also people that can be described as destructionist. That's the people that are pulling something down. They wreck the work of others. And the third type, the third category, is obstructionists. Those are the people that hinder the efforts of others. Their mission in life is to keep others back. They won't work themselves, but they won't let others work either. So three types of workers. Good to think of that. Ask yourself, which are you? If you think of the building of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, the designer, the architect was Sir Christopher Wren. Many workers that were involved in that great building project, remember, they didn't have the technology, the machinery that's available today. Many times Sir Christopher Wren would walk among the workers. He would like to see the progress of the work. He would like to familiarize himself with how his plans were actually being developed. And he wanted to build up a relationship with the workers, and he would stop and speak with them. And one day when he was on one of these tours, He came to a worker and he asked him, "What are you doing?" That was the question that he generally asked the various workers. What are you doing? Now think of that yourself in the light of the testimony, the ministry, the work of the church. So the first man that he met that day said, "I'm earning my daily wages." So that was his thought. That was his focus on his labors, on his efforts. The second man, he asked him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm breaking these stones." So that was where his focus was. The third man that he came to and he asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm helping to build this great cathedral." So his focus was on an entirely different level. So as you ask yourself tonight the question, what are you doing? What sort of work are you doing as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned? I wonder, are you like that third man that Sir Christopher Wren met that day? Are you helping to build this great church, the testimony, the ministry of the work of God here in this city? It's interesting in this chapter, whenever the enemy attacked, whenever the enemy opposed Nehemiah and all his co-workers, what they did was they redoubled their efforts. If you look there at verse 21, it says they labored in the work from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. So that gives you their hours of work, from dawn to dark, from daylight until dusk. In other words, they worked all day. Gives us an idea. These are men that were dedicated to this work. They were all out to the task that God had given them to do. And it's a challenge to us to follow that example. I wonder, will you work more, will you build more for the Lord this year, this summer, than you've ever done before? Do you remember the story of the Reverend Moore of Connor? Those young men, those new converts, just around the time of the 1859 revival. And he challenged them with those words, "Do something more for God." And I pray that that challenge will come afresh to your heart tonight. Do something more. Will you do more work, more endeavors for Christ, more labors for the Master, for the Lord this year than you've ever done before? So the trial speaks of the building for the Lord. And then the sword. And the sword's especially relevant to us in the days in which we live. The sword speaks of the battling. The end of the verse says, "And with the other hand held a weapon." So these workers, as well as having the trial, they had a weapon in their hand. And that reminds us that as Christians, we will have battles to fight. And you don't need me to remind you, with all that's going on in our land, laws that are being changed, laws that are being brought into force, laws that are being worked on to be passed in this land, there's great battles to be fought for the cause of Christ. Remember, brethren and sisters, as you think of that, that there are some things worth fighting for. And we need to underline that tonight. You ask, what are those things that are worth fighting for? Well, Nehemiah mentions some of them here in this chapter. If you look back at verse 14, he says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them." And that's a good word. The enemies of the gospel, those that are lobbying today to bring in all the evil laws, that they would want us to be afraid. The Bible says, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And notice what he says at the end of verse 14, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. So here are some things, brethren and sisters, worth fighting for. These men with the trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. Notice, I'll break it up for you just a little. The Christian should fight for the church. He says, fight for your brethren. So we need to fight for our brethren and sisters, for the people of God, for the church of Christ, for the testimony of the gospel in this land in which we live. I'm sure I've mentioned to you before the time when we lived in Wales. The Western Mail, the biggest daily newspaper in Wales, had a headline of 1,500 non-conformist places of worship closing down. Now, just take in the scale of that. 1,500 places of worship where once the gospel was preached and the light of God's world was held up, and the darkness, think of the darkness that was descending upon that principality with so many places of worship closing at almost the same time. And you know, the reality is the same could happen here in this land, this province of ours. We need to fight for the church, brethren and sisters, and we need to fight for its very survival. You think of apathy, the great weapon of the devil. It's widespread in the day in which we live. We're found in a very Laodicean society. We're found in a very Laodicean age. The Church of Christ is full of lukewarm Christians. That's one of the reasons why there's so few workers. One of the reasons why there's so few people that come along to some of the meetings, especially to the prayer meetings of the church, the apathy of the people of God. Remember the parable of the tares. The Savior said, "But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way." And while the church is sleeping, the devil is advancing. You know, it's reckoned, if the current trends continue, that Europe will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Not just Britain, but Europe will be a Muslim state. Isn't that quite alarming, brethren and sisters? So we need to fight. There's a battle to be fought for the Church of Jesus Christ. As Jude said in that little epistle of his, he exhorted that we're to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the church. Notice as well another fight or another battle that the Christian should be engaged in is fight for your children. He says your sons and your daughters. Isn't it sad? And it's increasingly so. So many churches today have very few or no children, no young people in the congregation. We live in the days of the judges. Do you remember what it said? A generation arose that knew not the Lord. And that describes even this blessed province of ours in the days in which we live. There's a generation arising around us, and they don't know the Lord. They don't know the things of God. So here's one of the great battles, brethren and sisters, for the church of the days in which we live, holding on to our children, holding on to our young people, not losing them to the world, not losing them to the devil. That's the reason why children's work and youth work is so vital. That's why we need to be involved in children's evangelism, need to fight for our children. Do you remember when Abraham came back from delivering Lot? The king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself." It's not interesting. We can get so taken up with the goods, so taken up with things, materialism. He said, "Give me the persons and take the goods." And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to give him the persons, the people, especially the young people. Just surrender them to him. So brethren and sisters, there needs to be a fight for the children. Fight for the children of the church, a fight for the children of the community. You think even of your own children, grandchildren, need to fight for them. Nehemiah says here, fight for your sons and your daughters. Remember, there's only two things that you have that you can take with you to heaven. One is your soul, and the other is your siblings. Everything else that you have in this world will be left behind. And you'll have to fight, you'll have to battle to deliver your children from the devil. The devil will oppose us in that matter every step of the way. John could say that he had no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And isn't that true, brethren and sisters? Nothing that would make you happier in this world, in this life, than to know that your children were going on with God, that your children would be in heaven with you. Do you know what you need to do to bring that about? You need to get the sword in your hand. You need to fight the battle, fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. You think of Noah, all his family in the ark. Remember those words spoken in the book of Hebrews of Noah? He built an ark to the saving of his house. So think of Noah and all his family in the ark, all saved. And what a blessing. There are few blessings greater, brethren and sisters, than to have all your family with you in heaven on that great day. And that's something we need to fight for. You think of Judah when he was down in Egypt, standing before his brother Joseph. At that time, he didn't know that the governor of Egypt was Joseph. And he said to him with regard to his brother Benjamin, "How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me?" And you think of that on a higher level, lifted it on a higher spiritual plane. How could we go up to the Father, to our heavenly Father? How could we go up to heaven if the lads, the lassies, the children be not with us? So we need to fight. We need to fight for our sons. I need to fight for our daughters. Another battle that he mentions here is fighting for your companion. He says fight for your wives. Not fight with your wife. That's a very common thing. He says fight for your wife. You think of how many Christian marriages, and think of the words Christian marriages, marriages even in the church that are breaking up today. It's said, a statistic that I saw a few years back, one in every three marriages now ends in divorce. Isn't that a shocking thing, men and women? There's not a doubt, in all that's happening, that the whole LGBT community, the lobby, the attacks that have been made, marriage, Christian marriage, the divine institution of marriage is under attack. And in many regards, in society today, it doesn't really matter. I read a few years ago that they were saying at that time that marriage is at its lowest ebb in this country since 1895, well over 100 years. So don't let the devil have his way, men and women. What we need today to fight for marriage, we need to make a stand on that matter and fight for your own marriage and your own relationship as well. The fourth thing that he mentions here that is a battle worth fighting is what we'll call the chamber. He says, verse 14, your houses. You think of the question, what is your home like? Is it different? Is it a home that's sanctified? A home that's set apart unto the Lord? We talk about a Christian home. What a blessing that is. We pray for more such homes. But the question for all of us is, do we have one? A home where Christ is magnified. A home where Christ is glorified. You think of it like this. Are there things in your home maybe that ought not to be there as a Christian? If you read the book of Nehemiah, one of the jobs that Nehemiah did, one of the first things he had to do in this great building project was the removing of the rubbish. And perhaps you need to do a little of that in your own home, your own family. Think of the family altar. Can I ask you tonight, do you have one? In the days of Elijah, it says that the altar of the Lord was broken down. And the sad thing, that is true in many Christian homes across the land. So here's a battle to be fought, men and women. A battle we need to fight even every day. practically, reality, fighting for the family altar, time to spend together around the Word of God and in the place of prayer. Because remember, here's where our land will be saved. All the political lobbying and so on is good and it's had its place. But here, it's in spiritual things is where our land will be saved. Putting things right, especially in the home. You know the old saying, as goes the home, so goes the nation. So do you know why our land is going down spiritually? It's because we're losing the battle for the Christian home. So here's some things, men and women, worth fighting for. The church, our children, our companion, our chamber or our home. So here's the battles the Lord would have us fight. And ask yourself, are you fighting the right battles tonight? That's a good question. It helps to put things into perspective. Are you fighting the right battles in your life, the right battles for the Lord? So the sword and the trial. Mr. Spurgeon's magazine that he started those many years ago has a message for us tonight. Here's the tools the Lord wants the Christian to use. Two words, two things, two implements that sum up in many ways the whole Christian life. The sword and the trowel. We're to be builders and battlers. We're to be workers and warriors. I'll close with this. Back in 1940, after Britain had lost 11 destroyers in 10 days during the battles of the Second World War, Mr. Churchill pleaded with President Roosevelt what became one of his most famous statements. He said, "Give us the tools and we will finish the job." Well, brethren and sisters, God has given us the tools. The tools that we need to finish the job that he has given to us. And what is needed is to take up the tools and to use them in his service and to use them to his glory. So I urge you tonight to do that. The sword and the trial, the building and the battling that we're to do for the Lord faithfully while we're here upon this earth. So it's Nehemiah 4:17. Everyone with one of his hands wrought on the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts tonight.